Hi everyone, welcome to Simply Blooming's podcast. I'm with my fellow co-host Tira from Ohio and Vishnu from the UK. And of course, I've got Hanuman here as well today because we did our last podcast on herbology, but from an energetic understanding. And we'll deep dive into that because I'm working with two professionals here with Tira and Vishnu, and they'll have their thoughts on that. Tira's amazing with fungi, and Vishnu is good within the language of all of that. And of course, Ganesh, hello, darlings. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tira. Hello, Vishnu. Hello, Hanuman. And so let's get started. So we don't have a particular theme, but we were talking about, prior to coming online, quite a few things about learning, you know, and the modalities of learning. You know, some people choose TAFE, some people choose colleges, private colleges, some people choose university. But, you know, we come from a level playing field where there's no hierarchical in knowledge because you all have knowledge. There's no one that doesn't have it. And you don't have to go through an institution to learn what you are. That comes from you as the source being. So that's the foundation I feel in this podcast. But, you know, would either of you have any topics you would like to particularly hone in on, or?
I can't think of anything.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, we have a lot to say. So, you know, so let's touch base in the art of learning. So, and relate to our last podcast with Hanuman. So, because, you know, Hanuman was on at ISIS for 2 weeks straight saying, when are we going to do this podcast? And, you know, so we often as a human being give over our power to another to fix us because, you know, human beings often feel like they need fixing. You know, they've got a chill. I need fixing. I need to fix that. But go to something outside of them because very few really remember to ask themselves, so what's going on that caused this? You know, all the viruses are going around in the world. You know, everyone's got the pneumonia here in Australia. Pneumonia is a bigger thing. And there's other viruses going around, you know, which is not happy. So it's a very unhappy experience. So, but, you know, you've got to look at where you are going within yourself. How is your immune system? What are you feeding yourself? What are you digesting? What information you're taking on? All that is nutrition. You know, at the highest frequency, it's nutrition. So, but the art of inquiry is often forgotten. Now, all of you who are already doing that, obviously this is not directed at you. However, you know, we all sometimes need a reminder. Definitely ISIS does too. But to ask yourself, you know, what am I feeding myself on all my vibrational frequencies? And if it feels draining to ask that, then you must be a little bit more run down than you think, because it's such a microsecond question, an art of inquiry, and the instant the answer comes up instantly. You know, it's one of those things that your body is sending you out signals. You know, when you feel overtired and you wonder why, your body is telling you something about something, and we're not going to give you the answers because you are all very much unique in your own way, and you all have your own circumstances that create what is going on with you. But since we're our theme presently is health and well-being at the highest vibration in a human form, and your humanology is also shifting about how you perceive yourself and your life and the world at large, because we're living in the times where people are getting a grasp on quantum physics. You understand the metaphysical nature entwined in our physical nature because they're not separate. So it's an exciting existence. And of course, you know, people are deep diving, getting excited about finding the fungi, and you're realizing how much of a contribution it makes to what we as human beings do, you know. And I see we, because I'm in this body, so I consider myself in a human form, therefore a human being also right now. And so, and you know, your humanology is shifting, you know, because you're getting lighter and lighter, and your vibration is shifting, and how your density of your structure is shifting, you know, it's so exciting. So even more important when that is happening, for those of you that are going through this, and we know many of you are, to pay attention of what your body's telling you as it's lightening up, of what you want to digest into your body, because it does affect, you know, your physicality. So, and, you know, just remember there's no good or bad. When you start labeling things, you create an obstacle inside yourself. So that is also very important. And, you know, but, you know, so what we'll do is, how do you feel, Tira, for example, you know, with your digestion? You just shared that you've just put in a veggie garden in your place, which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. So, we also know that you love exploring the Mohican Forest, that you have a beautiful synergy with different fungi, and that it actually communicates to you, which is very normal in our world. But, what do you get excited about when you go out and have an adventure or plant, bring about your garden, and what's your connectivity to all of that? And then how does that relate to your vastness of your journey?
I enjoy that connection with the plant, the connection with the soil. There's a really good feeling about watching that plant grow and then that providing food for you and knowing that it's just like it's pretty much the cleanest vegetable that I can get available to me. Even in the supermarkets, you're still limited, even with organic produce. With some of the loopholes here. So that's really nice to know that I just have really clean organic food. And it can be even my diet. I mean, I struggle sometimes still with my diet in general. The food here in the States is not generally the best, and so yeah, being able to grow that and providing like putting that energy in as I'm planning it even. And I'm so excited to as I watch it grow. And then just kind of that recycling back into our health of the family, then whenever I'm cooking with that or, and it's really nice too, that I can just like run out in my backyard and grab fresh vegetables instead of having to get dressed, get in the car, go to the grocery store, that type of thing. So yeah, that's always, and I just think that really, it comes full circle, that positive, that energy of me, of the excitement of planting it growing and then coming back into the body, again, and yeah, and then just being in the forest is just that's something since I've been a young girl. I've always connected with trees a lot also. And it's just something that like has really sparked, that's where a lot of my creativity comes from, my art, and that type of thing. And I think it's taught me a lot of that love and sharing from that heart center. I really stay connected in my heart center when I'm in the forest. And even when I start to lose sight of that, that's one place I can always go back to and it will pull me right back into my heart center. And so, yeah, ever since I've been little, I've always been jacked into the fungi, and just exploring the woods. The whole energy there is just very magical. And so, yeah, it really plays into a lot of my spiritual journey. And to kind of what I'm continue to evolve into definitely has a huge impact.
Yeah, I think so too. It's funny because the last podcast, I think it was the last one, where I was been talking away with Ganesh and Hanuman, and Shiva was behind me, and Parvati was on the other side of me. One was on the right, one was on the left, and then all of a sudden, this eucalyptus. We've got like 700 to 800 species of eucalyptus. I have no idea which one spoke. All of a sudden, this eucalyptus came zooming in and wanted to say something. It was the funniest experience. Because it was not even in my thought waves, it was really funny. And so nature's also extending its root system with its mycelium and hyphae to humanity to share the wonderment. And I think, one of the things that Ganesh touched base in the last one is globally, we're creating heat sinks, urban heat sinks. And it's funny because we're so knowledgeable about what the cause and effect of that, but yet we're tearing down our rainforests around the world. There's some areas, some countries that literally have none left. And so, not a criticism because we're able to change it in any given microsecond. We could step in and say, hey, as people, because people have the ability to be empowered. And so, there's never such, it's never too late. Like, it's never too late. Nature can always rise up and it always is going to. But it's just funny how our mindset can splinter sometimes. And then nature's making, creating these connections directly with those humans who are open to receiving that connectivity and that are willing to then get out and be very outspoken. I've often spoken about Monica, who wrote Thus Spoke the Plants, who's a very highly respected scientist who was very brave and stepped out into herself, internationally to not only write the book, but then go on, as guest speakers and share about her experience about how she, could hear nature plants and that, which in the scientific community is a really big thing to do. But generally speaking, I think, it's not always easy for people to speak out loud about how they can hear things because everything is conscious. And for some reason, there was an era, and still in this day and age, that we, it's subjective. We don't always recognize that nature is very conscious and it's highly intelligent. You know, it just, it does, has a different way of communicating, yet it connects with every single life form. And sometimes as a human being, we forget and we separate. And so we always go into a false sense of what intelligent is, you know. But Vishnu, we'll just quickly ask you too, being based in the UK, but you travel. Hello, India. All the people in India, hello, in an island. We'd love to say hello and welcome to this podcast also. We had a beautiful experience watching the documentary called The Soils. And the person that was being interviewed is Richie from Ireland, and she I highly recommend it. You can get it on YouTube. It's free. It's a very good video. It's a very good documentary. Great interviewing on behalf of the person who was doing that, but highly recommend it. So which is someone who travels, you know, when you go back to India, you were saying a lot of things have changed with the farming there and you know, and the podcast isn't about that particularly, but it is about connectivity. And because food is nourishing and it is well-being itself, this is a really pivotal point, especially as you're lightening, you're bringing more light rays into your human form, you know, which is beyond your form, then how you digest things, what you choose to digest, is really helpful to maintaining that equilibrium. And it really helps your mental stamina as well as you shift through your understanding of who and what you are, which is constantly changing. So Vishnu, how do you find it? And being in the UK, access to what you find nutritional and...
I often say it's one of those areas I just don't prioritize enough. And I know I have the knowledge, but I don't do it. I don't feel like Tara. I don't actually have the luxury of having that backyard in the UK, you know. So, so I struggle with organic food. And even when what is labeled as organic, it's you know, it's not really. And someone who actually, as someone who grown up in the middle of a farm, someone grown up with deep ties to the land, I think India is the place when I go back is really grounds me. And the land is tropical. So the inland south, it's one of the most fertile soil that you can see. So I've grown up with the kind of the all the traditional crops. I've grown up with harvest, the rice fields, seeing that, you know, people doing the harvest, and it's there's also beautiful songs around it. And when people do that work, actually, this beautiful language also created. There's songs, there's music, there's dance. So I've grown up with, I think I was one of the last generation who grew up seeing all that. And then now that has stopped, all of that, and because of various reasons. But there is still an element of respect to the land, and people still surviving their daily life based on land. So naturally, when I am in that ecosystem, I feel unhealthy here, but then there's some kind of a healing that goes on there automatically.
Mm.
The land really heals you. The sun really heals you in that way. So being part of the tropics, and I always felt that there is a special kind of sunlight, and especially if you're closer to the sea, it automatically heals you in some way. I mean, there's healing everywhere, but particularly maybe I'm biased a little bit because I grew up in that part of the world. So and there's a natural connection to the land immediately. I have often wondered about the UK because there's nature everywhere. If you really look at it, it's nature everywhere. But it's also, I've noticed that it's one of the most disconnected kind of places from nature. So why is that a place that is so abundant in nature and then the people are so disconnected, you know, from that land? So yeah, so but it is also a place for deep learning. I observe people, and the farmers, especially the women farmers, have taught me so much back home as well.
I think so too. I think you know, in Ayurveda or Siddha Unani medicine, and medicine isn't, the word medicine is a funny word because the definition is different for different people. But when we use the term medicine, we're always talking about one who is already healed, you know, whereas often medicine is, it's where if you get sick, you have medicine. but medicine.
Could you just talk to, if you could expand that, the concept of food as medicine?
Yeah, so food is everything you digest, everything you, you know, what is around you, your environment, how you take in your environment, your discernment is also medicine. It is the food, it is the connection that you have to the food that you eat, your thoughts around it. If you start saying good or bad, then you're sending a different sound wave through your energetic field. But if you're in grand delight of something, then your system will naturally be able to calibrate to that grand delight no matter what. But also the joy you feel, because when you're in a state of joy, then what you're drawn to will be of that lightness in energy, sound, frequency, vibration. So that's a really important awareness, you know, for those who are interested in that, because not everyone is, and that's okay too. But it's you know, it's just something that it's all encompassing. You know, if you're wearing clothes that you really love, you know, that favorite item of clothing that you just love, and you wear it till it literally falls off you, the joy you get from wearing that is mana. Like, it's mana from heaven. It's a food because it's feeding you. You feel so good. So it's good vibes, it's happy vibes, you know. So it's in everything, you know. When you feel down about yourself, you know, who's gone to the wardrobe? And it seems a silly thing to some of you, but you go to the wardrobe and nothing feels right. You can pull anything on and it felt right yesterday. You put it in the, God, I feel so whatever, right? But then, you know, it's not about the clothes. It's not about anything else. It's letting you know that you don't feel quite at home in oneself in that microsecond. And it's only a microsecond in the big scheme of your life. But many times we get caught up in that and we just feel, yeah. And then you don't want to go anywhere. You want to stay home. You want to hibernate. I want to go to that party. I don't want to go do this because I haven't got anything to wear, you know. Because we forget what it's really all about. It's about coming together, but it's also about the coming together within yourself. You know, it's about uniting and feeling what is happy for you, because we all, no matter what our external circumstances are, there's happiness in anything that we participate. And we totally understand that there's, you know, some people in, you know, some people are in, you know, not a healthy situation. So, and it's very easy to speak it, but when you're in it, it's sometimes harder to rise about it, you know. And the dire situation could mean anything. You know, it's not about not having money or having money or having a house or not having a house. It's your home is the being that you are. That's your first home. And when you really resonate with that, you know, really resonate, I can't hit that home enough, it's a resonance, then your life is transformative instantly, because the way you perceive yourself changes. Therefore, you can create opportunities that are fruitful for you as you become more aware of what is fruitful for you, because a lot of people don't know that, you know, that people don't always know what is for them that they really thrive in, because there's still that mindset of that sheep mindset where we're just following to try and fit in rather than just respecting someone else's journey and just feeling, well, where am I in all this, you know, because we work so hard to fit into an environment, you know, and that's sometimes quite tricky because often you don't all fit in the way, you know. It's like when you might be in a group at work and someone starts speaking in a way that you just don't feel quite good about, but instead of just either walking away or just tuning out of it, you'll feel like you have to join in and speak the same way. But it never feels good. Like, it just doesn't feel good. And it's not that they're doing something that's unfortunate. It's just they're just being them. But you forget that it's okay to also be you in that environment, because all of a sudden you feel this little bit of a weird feeling, weird vibe coming from everyone because, oh, no, she's not, or he's not joining in, you know, what's wrong with that person, that kind of mindset. And it's happened to everyone at some point in their life. Very few people have not experienced that on a level. So being comfortable in your own self is the start of what true well-being is, and knowing it's okay to be that and giving yourself permission to be that is really important as well. So to us, well-being is about all of those things, you know, feeling good about And we all have different upbringings, right? It's quite tricky. And sometimes those upbringings, always the best of intention, but they don't always serve us into our adulthood. And so readdressing about who you are as an adult, who you are and who you want to become, or who you're happy with being, and then keep expanding on that. But where life is so busy and it's so tricky because people don't always create the space, and space is important because it's in the space that we really can feel the clarity of our own adventure, and also recognize when we start to limit what possibilities we have. That's also really important because we tend to limit what we're capable of being, and as the quantum field starts to open up to people on a community level, as a generalization and all those things, it's not about taking on someone else's understanding of what quantum physics is. And you certainly don't need to go and learn it from someone, because it's who you are as a being and a person, which is not separate to either. Then, it's knowing that there's many ways to move on in your life, and to being okay with it, whatever that is. And then also respecting another's adventure with that. That's also well-being, and in a world that's going into a state of critical awareness when it comes to mental health, just to give yourself time to and space to breathe. It is really that simple, giving yourself space to breathe, because it's a microsecond, it's a nanosecond, it's a millisecond, but we don't. So it's an interesting journey, and I think really that's what is really, really important now.
Yeah, thank you, Isis. I would like you to expand, if possible. What exactly do you mean by being comfortable within oneself, and not just from a mental health, but also from a physical perspective, and how one can cultivate that in their everyday life?
Yeah, I think that's a really potent question, and everyone's going to have a very their own ideas of what that. So I'll show you from a personal experience. So I've lived and worked with Ganesh directly for since I've been in this form, when I walked in a long time ago. And but in my early days, and even sometimes to this day, I keep that element of my life quite quiet. Obviously not now because we're podcasting it, but for many years I was very quiet about it. Whereas Ganesh is very vocal. He's very he loves connecting with people. He loves talking to people directly, both through this body, and which is also his body, and through energy, generally speaking. And I know a lot of you who see him and share and play with him. Hello again, India, Sri Lanka. He's just giving a big shout out there, and all the countries that he loves coming in. He loves snowboarding, right? So he'll go snowboarding. I know he's done it with Tira, which her family's gone snowboarding.
Yes.
I have a friend who's got a son who had a party when he was like 6 or 8, I can't remember the age, and she said, "I think I saw Ganesh playing his drum with a party hat, blowing his whistle." And I thought, so this is him. He just loves to be a participant in life. And I think to me that's a really beautiful gift, because he's breaking down those belief systems about separation, because there's no separation in being. And also he's just so generally loving, and it's not about being part of a particular faith or being part of a particular community. He's involved in all communities. He's everyone's. He's everyone's. And actually, it's funny because I also work with Lord Shiva and Parvati and Gautama and all those beings, and Shirdi Sai Baba. And I mean, I could rattle off so many, but I'd be here forever. And they are such an equilibrium of life streaming. There's no hierarchical system. There's just pure presence, and they love everyone. And but if I, when I used to talk to people, I'd say Lord Shiva, they think, people have many ideas and they categorize it in a particular belief system. But actually, when you go directly and you talk, share, and communicate with anyone, you get a very personal intake of what energy is really about. And it's not about all the belief systems that people sometimes manipulate to suit their own desire. And this is not directed at Hinduism or anything like that. Hinduism was actually Sanatan Dharma, which is eternal life, which is really what they represented. And in my early days, you know, I went to this place where they bathed the statues, and I remember feeling how they were bathing, because I actually, you know, being with, living with him in this body, I could feel the beautiful liquefying of this. It was such a beautiful feeling. I thank everyone for doing that because it's lovely. But what that was a reminder of is to keep your energy clear. You know, and people have forgotten that, you know, they think, why are you doing all that to the statue? But it's a reminder, because we don't often clear out our stuff, do we? We let it accumulate. You know, how many people go from relationship to relationship and carry the baggage they've had that didn't go right with that, that think they didn't go right in that relationship, and they take it into the new relationship, and the communion between the two gets thwarted because all the baggage from past has come in. So you know, rituals were designed as reminders. You know, it's not a belief system. It's just an awareness about, you know, staying attuned to yourself, being aware of where you're at with your emotional state, your what you're accumulating. Does it serve you anymore? Is it something from the past that just needs to let go? Who are you right in this microsecond? Who do you want to, you know, expand and be happy with? Who do you want to shed some more light into? So anything that's debris for you is let go of. So those understandings, and you know, it was also a dance of the elements, what they represent, wisdom, you know, the earth and all those things. That's all of humanity, is that we're all those a dance of the elements, as is nature. So with me, I always use the analogies with nature, because I'm in true communion with nature, and I can't ever separate myself from it. But I work in a field that works in nature and is often separate from it. You have to look at the ecosystems and observe. But, you know, the thing is, people are taught in a particular way to connect, and it's very mental orientated. But really, the nature comes from your entire resonance. It doesn't come from a separated compartmentalization of your brain is thinking, you know, your heart is here and your feet are there. It comes from the whole of your energetic resonance. And so therefore, how it connects with you is a direct consciousness through that, you know. And of course, with science, it's so important. That's why Hahnemann brought up the science of life with Ayurveda and the three sister sciences in medicine and healing, which is a healed understanding. So nature never needs healing, because it knows how to balance itself out. And as a human being, we feel that we know more, and even though we're studying it, we still feel we can dominate it for our own gain. You know, and it's not everyone, so please don't take offense to that, people, because it's not everyone. We're still coming to know ourselves. So it's, you know, that's the priority, because as you know yourself, you get a different understanding and symbiosis to how nature is us, and vice versa. There is no separation in truth. You know, we need our digestive fire. Some elements of nature need the burn, so it regenerates, right? So without our digestive fire, Agni, then, you know, we have bowel problems, right? We have all these other, you know, intestinal problems, you know. So we're so interconnected. So when we start bulldozing and flattening and changing our topography, the topography is the way it is, because it gathers the water, it slows the water down. You know, that's why permaculture is now, you know, such a big thing, because it biomimics and understands the elements of that. And so people who are drawn to that are connecting on that frequency, you know. And so here in Australia, you go through and these estates, housing estates are being putting up, and they're tearing down the bushland, but they're flattening the land. And then they have to put all these pipes in to channel the water out, so you don't get flooding underneath these houses, you know, which is ironic, because that's a lot of economic fiscal awareness, right, that's going on there, where nature already was letting you know, hey, I'm here to serve, I'm here to assist. I've got my swales going, I've got my berms. How about we work together and put the house up on high? You don't need to flatten. The water will go into the swale. It will slow the water down. It will give it time to penetrate in. And you have all this beautiful vegetation around to create the shade. There's no more urban heat sink, you know. And then you've got people who will argue, but there's population growing. Well, there's enough space in our world to create for our population, when we observe and understand how nature's shedding different parts of itself. You know, it's like the trees. Some of the trees will drop a limb. If there's not enough water, they'll start to drop some of their leaves, and they're not deciduous by nature. They'll drop leaves because they know they need to nurture other parts of itself. Then if it still requires more nutrition, it will start to drop a limb. Right. So that's letting you know that it knows how to work its biome, that its biology, it knows and understands that. So with us as humans, we also, when we tune in, know that, okay, so we could have a whole box of chocolates and it's great. We love it and you're so ecstatic. There's no sugar up and down. You know, it's wonderful. And then another day, we just might be not quite ourselves. If we had that same box of chocolates, our body will, you'll start getting gut pains. You won't be able to go to the toilet because your body's saying, hey, you need a few veggies now, you know? So it's not one or the other. There's no one sheet, you know, Hahnemann touch base, because we notice that it's, but definitely not a criticism, guys. But, you know, just for ease, because people don't understand and they're so out of tune and of their bodies, that they get what we call cheat sheets. So there's a sheet on Vata and there's a sheet on Kapha of what foods to avoid and what foods not. But you're not one of those constitutions. You're all of those doshas, you know, and it's just sometimes it's more predominant within the form. But your form is also changing. So the understanding when Ayurveda was first brought in by the Siddhas, and same with Unani and Siddha medicine, and also Chinese medicine, all the ancient medicines from way, you know, the original cultures, it always understood the epicenter of everyone's being, that the art of inquiry was where true well-being starts and anything else comes out of that. But over time, we've forgotten to tune in. And even though there's mindfulness and all those things, and a lot of people are doing that, still life gets so busy, we get so caught up. And we get so distracted, you know, bills to pay, jobs to find, jobs to keep, jobs to whatever, friends to meet up with. And we just make busy in our lives. And so now as a backlash, we've got slow living movement, or you've got the minimalist. So you've got all these movements popping up. And all of those are ways to find oneself, you know, because, you know, for slow living, you know, sometimes your body's saying, you know, I need to, you know, pull back. I get sometimes on the way to work, I get tailgated and, you know, I think, gosh, just slow down. I'm on the speed limit. Stop tailgating me. I want to enjoy my journey to get to work. You're on my backside. So if I have to brake suddenly, you're to go right up my backside, you know. And you think, what's the hurry? If you're running late, riding behind someone's tail like that is not going to get you there safely, you know. So take a breath. If those people slowed down and went into their breath, they wouldn't be the desire of going like that. You know, you wouldn't be pushing all the time. You'd be allowing, and then in an allowing state of being, then you have the space to allow others to also be that, rather than grind them into the ground to, you know, to get what you want. And it's a totally different consciousness. And there's a lot of people that really are thriving in that environment. A lot of people aren't sure how to come into that existence within their own self and then the wider community. So for what we're aware of, it's making the decision. Once you make the decision, then the whole cosmic self as a human form comes into playfulness, and you set the wheels in motion to start allowing yourself to manifest that. But it's being open to letting go of all those mental constructs that you've built up over whatever lifetime you've had. Doesn't matter what age you are, there's never too late, never too early, and start paying attention to your thoughts around it and letting go of that which no longer serves you, and allowing different thoughts to come in to help move you on in the way that you want to in your life. So that's what well-being is, you know, and it's going to be different for each one of you. There's not a one-size-fits-all. You've all got different backgrounds, past histories, you know, we're all a variety of beautiful shapes, sizes, colors, and it's all exquisite. You know, one of the things I love going to nature is all the colors. And I always think of human beings, we're so colorful in our nature. We're all different shapes. I think of the beautiful boab tree, the bottle tree, and all the beautiful curves that it has. I think of the Angophora cristata that's so gnarly, like it gets these twists and it gets these nodules on it. And I think it's so exquisite. You know, it's so amazing how it just curves around things, and its root system cascades over boulders, you know. And yet we're so, as human beings, so harsh with each other about what is a beautiful person. and what our shapes and colors are, you know. And there's not one culture that doesn't do this to itself and each other. There's none. I mean, there's a big thing about racism and all those things, and that's always a tricky thing to bring up. But actually, there's not one culture around Australia, around the world, that doesn't have that. But a culture will look to another culture and critique, and oh, that they're a very racist country or very racist, whatever. But actually, it's us as individuals that are hard on ourselves, and then we sometimes then look on an unhappy moment, and then look at another and see each other differently. So all this is also well-being. When you feel really wonderful about yourself, you're not even thinking that way. You're so happy in your communion with all of what you're participating in. And then we've had people say, well, that's a very utopian, idealistic way of thinking. But it isn't. It's everyday life. I mean, personally, if I feel unhappy, it's not a state I like being in. If I feel like my thoughts are going in a direction that's not going to serve me to a happy outcome, I question where they're coming from and why I'm feeling that way, you know. And it's not about anyone else. It's about, where did I not have a good sleep last night? You know, like just little things, you know, am I unhappy because I'm not looking after myself? Do I feel taxed because I feel like someone's drawing my energy out, but I'm not paying attention enough to, hey, whoa, shut this one down, you know? And so self-responsibility is also a part of well-being, and knowing it's okay to make decisions based on that, you know. Worry, as Ganesh always, you know, told me and shared with me, worry is worry, caring is caring. They're not combined. You know, worry doesn't mean you care more. Worry just makes you very sick, you know. So all of these awarenesses, you know, and just remember, we've grown up with a lot of society belief systems. And so letting go of all that and finding out who you are and what you are in your now moment is where it starts. You know, it doesn't matter. It's not, you know, we're, you know, I on site at work, I often get asked how old I am, and I actually don't have an answer. And some people think that I'm just don't want to say, but when you really truly live in the timelessness, you don't have an age. I mean, people could look at a driver's license, but it's not my birthday anyway because I'm a walk-in. But even so, I have no relationship with that, like none whatsoever, because it's not the person I am. You know, the person I am is who I show up as. You know, and it's timeless. You know, but in this society, oh my God, ageism, I hear you guys, those who are going through that whole bigoted thing, because it's out there, ageism, when you get to a certain age, all of a sudden, you know, you're discontinued. That's a funny thought, right? That's a funny thought, because everyone is valued. A baby is valuable. A toddler, a child, a young teen, an adult going into adulthood. More people who have lived a fuller life in timelessness, you know, but in a body. Everyone is valuable. You know, I don't understand what that is not to value. A human life is valuable. You know, humans are valuable, and they're just amazing. They have so much capacity to love, to give, to be kind, and to share. Sometimes they just get sidelined. You know, sometimes, you know, they get put in a bin and categorized, you know, you know, or a title that's really deflates really quickly, you know, because there's always someone wanting that title, you know. So I then feel like a tidal wave, a tsunami needs to, you know, wash all that, you know, stuff away. But if that's your journey, it'll be until it's not. And that's just the life of, you know, a choice. I don't come from that because I live with such a vast energetic stream, you know, but then I feel privileged that I've met yourselves, Tara, I've met Jen, I've met Vishnu, and I've met people because I made the decision with Ganesh pushing me all the way to actually get out and be open about living with him and Hanuman now too, very physical in my life. And so, because I wouldn't have met you guys, you know. And so letting yourself be seen, no matter who you are, allows other people to meet you, you know. And so I feel very, very blessed to have definitely Ganesh encourage me all the way. But I think he does that to anyone who wants, you know, is open to it. Because the thing is, he's known for removal of obstacles, but the obstacle really is ourselves, you know, because we just put roadblock because we're either nervous about what people will think, or we're, you know, you're not in a society globally, we're not raised to be ourselves. We're raised to become something other than what we are. Like, it's not good enough. You know, and I think that it's healthy if we start to change that mindset for babies that are being born and become aware of what sounds they're being, you know, assaulted by. You know, if you take a newborn into a busy shopping center and there's this boom, 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 you know, they're so sensing at that time. It really is a harsh, loud, raucous sound on their eardrums and their energy itself. So being aware of all that, you know, they just come from a womb that's usually a very different cubicle of existence. And so just being aware of all those things is well-being in itself, you know. And I, Hanuman wanted to bring up Ayurveda because it is the science of life. And there's this big thing I know in my field where it's scientific, we're scientifically based. And as soon as you start talking about energy, which is science, right? It's actually science. You know, and you've got biophysicists, biological physicists, all these titles that I get all jumbled up that have now understood and proven in a scientific way that cells are vibrating and oscillating. There's an amazing, I think she's a Sana or a Shwana or something like that, who gets into the singing bowls, and her background is pure science. And she talks about it, and I think she's based in America somewhere. And so people are broadening their understanding and not so isolating. But remember, science was originally birthed through being trailblazers. They were forerunners. But what is also important to remember, that as a human being, you have that knowledge already, you know, and a lot of the time you don't need the proof because you are the embodied energy of that very living understanding and consciousness, you know. But yeah, so it's an interesting journey. Did that answer the question? That was very long, wasn't it? And I went into many, many tributaries there. I'm sure both of you experience things like that. I mean, it's hard not to in this world. It's everywhere.
I have a few follow-up questions, but I want to give Tara, because, you know, because I asked a question already. So Tara has a thing.
Well, you're really... can't think of anything right now, so go ahead.
So there's so much that I have written down here, like the biomimicry that I think we talked about that in another podcast. Yeah, and then the mental constructs, then the art of self-inquiry. But I wanted to connect a little bit with the art of self-inquiry with well-being, because I think you mentioned the art of self-inquiry as a crucial component of well-being. But, you know, like so much of our construct around well-being is about, you know, look at celebrities, what they do. You know, like if you really look at, no offense to Kim Kardashian or anybody. It's about, you know, having a particular type of body and going to gym, and these types of constructs are being created, which is fantastic. Like, you know, I myself like would like to go to gym more often, like, you know, but... So how do you view those type of images and concepts?
Well, I don't view it. I think it's about feeling good about yourself. The rest is marketing. You know, I mean, they've got their role in their own life and what they want to bring out into the world. But at the end of the day, it's how each person feels about themselves and to love the body that they're in, you know, and know what's fitness to a person. I mean, I've known teachers, gurus, they need to go to the gym. They're very fit. They're so aligned, because it's not about going to the gym or going for a walk. I mean, personally, I'm not a gym person, but I do love I love hiking. I love swimming. I love going for a creek dip or an ocean dip. Don't always make the time to do it. But my first thing would be breathing. Because, you know, sometimes I think breathing is the first place, because when you feel at ease with yourself, the breath is a beautiful way to align oneself in a lifestyle that people are so busy. And usually they go very robotically to the gym. It's a really big fitness workout and I'm doing this and I've got to do this and you've got to get the right gear on and you've got to... No criticism in that, but often it's a thing, right? You're cycling, there's all this gear you've got to buy. Hiking, oh my God, if you've ever gone into the hiking, you could spend thousands upon thousands of dollars, but actually it's just about getting into nature. And so, you know, there's industries that get created around these things, you know. Oh, wonderful. If you're wearing something, you feel good and great. But equally, if you wear your tracky jacks with a hole, then that's, you're still going to be able to do a great workout, you know. But we do, mentally, we get caught up in an image-based thing. And so it's the same thing, isn't it? It's that image-based issue rather than looking at what is at the core of yourself. And, you know, and it's not about how much body fat you've got on you. It's not about how lean you are. It's about how you feel within yourself. If you feel good about yourself, that's everything. That sets all these happy endorphins off in your hemisphere of equilibrium. And, you know, that's where it's at. That's where it starts. And you're naturally then drawn to things that are really wonderful for you, you know. And when you feel good about yourself, that energy just emanates. You're not sending it out there. It just naturally emanates. And people feel it. I mean, I've often commented when I've gone in to buy some bread, you know, at a baker's, and the assistant has been really happy. I'm so thrilled. I'm so grateful that they've been so happy to have that connection with me as I've asked for the bread and they've given me and they've taken my money. That's a happy exchange. My well-being is ecstatic because that is a, but then if I've also been served by someone, hi, how can I help you? You know, not a criticism. We all have rough days. Would that be all? You know, they don't want to be there. They're not happy to serve. And that's okay. We sometimes that's not the job for that person because they don't want to. But also in society, we have this demographic that says that's a demeaning job. That's a, you know, but all jobs are required. If someone wasn't there to serve, to purchase the bread or bake the bread, or if I, you know, if I didn't go out into the bush, and then sometimes it really annoys me when I see rubbish out in the bush, I think, why did they throw those glass bottles in there? That can start a fire if there's something else to it. And so I'll go and pick it up. You know, it's not a big deal for me to go and pick up that rubbish that's in there. I don't think I'm less there because I'm picking up someone else's rubbish. I wish they hadn't put it there in the first place, but they'd have. And so I'll go and pick it up. So I think there's this mindset around what is a less than job. You know, how many people have said, oh, my daughter or my partner is a barrister or a judge or a doctor. I'm so proud, you know. And, you know, all jobs are necessary until they're not. And getting out of that construct of what is a better job, what is a less than job, because they're all part of the big cycle of life, you know. And how many people are in jobs that they've studied so long for and just they realize it's just not for them anymore, or they've gone through the study but they've invested so much money. Who's got a hex debt? Oh my God, so much money. And so they think, oh, I've got to pay that off, but I don't even want to do the job anymore, but that's the income that will help me pay it off. So they'll stay in an unhappy situation because of whatever investment they've already made, they feel is wasted. But if you've gone through it, it's not wasted. It's to help you be more aware of what you want in your life. So it's never a waste of time or energy. But then maybe not sure of where they are. So go in there and have the adventure. Find out what it is that you desire. For me, I've had so many different reincarnations of life with work. I've done so many different things. And Ganesh is into everything. He'll try everything. He just loves the whole experience of everything. You know, I mean, I've been outside. He says, oh, I'm a bit tired, Mum. Like, he always calls me Mummy or Mum. And I think I say to me, you freelading? No, I'm riding on your back. That's not freelading. Like, he'll make a joke of something and I'll laugh so much that I'm energized by it. So it's seeing something in your life that if it's draining you, seeing the humorous side, being energized by it and just moving on, you know, and knowing it's okay. But if you're caught up in titles and what you should be doing in your life, then you're already feeling gutted. Your soul place is feeling really tense, uptight, grounded. Your bowels probably playing up on you, you know, but so many people aren't even aware that's the cause and effect, you know, because they just haven't given themselves space to even self-realize that. So there's a big thing in spiritual world to self-realize, but self-realization is every microsecond. Like, it's every daily event. It's not this one aha moment of, oh my God, I'm having a samadhi event. You know, you can have that. To me, it's like orgasms. People, you know, can't wait to have that orgasm with their partner or themselves, whichever, each their own, you know. But really the orgasm of life is, personally, that's what I desire to experience, to be in that state always, not to just wait to hook up, you know, not to that way. Like, it's a funny thing, and I never normally talk, but Ganesh is really big on sharing that stuff. But really, you know, and I'm never sure whether we're allowed to, but at the end of the day, children are in that state. When they're giggling, they're in that happy endorphin state, you know, and it's about them. They're in the moment of experience, the tickling of life, you know, and somewhere between growing up or even as a child, you see children being, you know, pushed down and told what they need to do and what they, you know, too much constriction around their breath. They stop giggling and they take that non-giggle into their adult life, and it creates a whole different type of human experience, you know. So to us, spirituality is life itself. It's all resonances. And, but, you know, for me, my desire was to live a happy life. And for Ganesh, it's about sharing that happy life with anyone who wants to participate in creating a happy life for themselves. And whatever that is for you, he's in, you know, whatever you want to do, you know. So, and he's into everything, you know. I mean, I once shared one day, it was a while back, but I, you know, I was, you know, in bed and he came home and he had his dreadlocks, he had his coal around his eyes. And he came in, crawled into bed, and he said, "I'm so tired." And I said, "Where have you been?" He said, "Oh, I was DJing in the red light in Amsterdam." And he was really sort of like that. It was really funny. And I just went really quiet. He said, "I'm gone." And he was out like a light. Now, he's omnipresent, so obviously he's awake always because he's in the timelessness. But there was a very human event that he shared that he loved, because he just loves life and he loves everyone that is life itself. You know, it's everything. So I think if we can get anything, as you know, any aspect out of that and bring it into our own self-awareness and then decide where we want to go with that, create with that, then we've come a long way in our eternal existence in our physical form. You know, which is always shifting anyway. You know, some of us are more aware of it than others. You know, in truth, a walking is just a shift in vibration, but it's a full-on shift, you know. But then after that experience happens, it's just constantly happening anyway, you know. So as you earth yourself in a different way, you realize your energy shifting all the time. Yeah, but did that answer that question? Sorry.
Yeah,
I keep expanding.
Yeah, it did. I was going to say that society always have a problem with being happy, because sometimes, like, you know, not now, but like, people always refer to me as, "Oh, he's always happy," and I'm like, is that a problem now?
You know, yeah, so, I think we forget that, you know, we forget that it's possible. Well, we forget that it's possible, I think. I mean, you know, sometimes you see situations that seem very sad. I mean, down the road from where I'm recording this, there's a lady that likes to live out in the park. It's by choice. She actually likes to live there. So the council had given her the keys to the local amenities, and so she goes in there and sleeps and can lock it up at night so she's safe. But she wouldn't move from there. I mean, she's right on the lake. She feeds the birds, not highly recommended, by the way, because they need to forage for themselves. But this is her life. She does the washing, bangs it all out, and everyone watches over her. So someone could think, well, that's a very sad situation, but she actually really loves it. So the local restaurant, she goes in and cleans the dishes, and they do a trade with food. So I think it's also being aware of, you know, if someone needs assistance as a community, it's really important that we decide if they would like it, then be open to assisting without judgment, because everyone has different life circumstances. But then some people live a particular way that you might not like to live, but they might love to live, and they're happy to live it. I think having that awareness, because we often assume when someone's living differently to us that they're not living their best life, but sometimes they are, you know. So it's, you know, there's no one size fits all in the way we choose to live our life, you know. And I think that awareness is really important. And just like being happy, you know, it's, you know, a happy person can still have a microsecond sad moment or an out of kilter moment and a cross moment, but basically their whole resonance is being happy. It's just a natural flow for them. Other people are happy in their misery. That's their form of happiness. And that is okay too, because that's where they're at and that's how they feel. And that's also wonderful, because it's just where it's at in that moment, you know.
I like the way you phrased it. It's a great book title, Happiness in Misery.
Yeah, <know? laughs> yeah. Well, sometimes, because what's misery for one person is not misery for another, you know. you know, it's just one of those things. So that's why, you know, you know, Ganesh has always been like, you do you, we'll do us, you know, whatever that is, you know. And I think if we can have that acceptance within ourselves, we're more likely to accept it in another and be less judgmental. Because I think it's the judgment that kills us all. You know, it does. When you feel judged and you're judging yourself, it's just such a hard burden to bear. You know, it's tricky.
I was wondering, because you know, we were in the topic of well-being, so you talked about the mental constructs, and we can create well-being through that way. How about you know, going back to breathing as well, but how about diet, for example? Because
yeah.
so much of our food is very much like Tara was mentioning about, you know, poisonous and
yeah,
chemicals.
Well, a lot of it, yeah, you've got a lot of chemicals that aren't necessarily conducive to well-being. I think if that's all you're eating, you know, then that's a tricky thing on your body. But your body would be telling you signals all the time. You'd be more constipated. You'd have more diarrhea. You'd have dehydration. You'd have your body is constantly telling you. You'll get an increase of an energy low. You'll get all those things. So I think, you know, what I do know is your body gives you the signals. What's right for you? You know, and you know, and it's just that we choose not to listen. So for us, for you know, I love growing my own food, because, and I don't grow enough. I would love to grow more, and I'm working on that. But I also go and buy things too. But I know when I shouldn't have that extra bag of chocolate sultanas or that Daryl Lee chocolate licorice. And I know if I do, my body instantly gives me a pain because I've eaten too much. Or I know when to just liquefy my diet insofar as my nutritional intake and just have some green juices, because I am getting clogged up, you know, but my energy is clogged up first, you know, and food is energy. So I think the thing is fast food is high in saturated fats. And I think if you have some of that and your body's okay with it for a period of time, great. But often your body will say no. You know, if it's a prolonged thing, it'll say, mix it up for me. You know, well, let's eat that every now and then, but let's eat other things, you know, and, you know, go for a walk or something. But often we don't listen to it. It's convenience food, you know. But there's preservatives, and there's some preservatives that are okay and some that aren't. And so it's just being discerning, you know. It's like gluten-free and all those things, or too much yeast in your body. And everyone's unique with that, and allergies are on the rise. So the fact that allergies are on the rise, that's a red flag anyway, to say, well, what are we doing? And I mean, I'm not a fan of pesticides. I don't use them in the garden. I don't like to use them in the wild either. And that's not to say I never have, because in some of the field that I'm in, they do use a poison that goes straight on the particular plant weed that's causing a constriction with the local provenance plants. Am I on board with it? Not really, not at all, actually. Have I done it? Yes, I have. Do I want to continue to do it? Not really at all. I don't really like blanket spraying out in the wild, because I think of all the beneficial insects that are affected by that. And so it's not black and white. It's how you feel about what I am aware of. I think of all my bees, and I think of all the ladybirds and all those things. So I think it starts there, you know. And I think the more you act in your own environment, the more that shifts in a global environment, which it already is. The awareness is there when you're putting. And I'm a big soils person. Soil is everything. Everything in the soil is what comes up into yourself. You're earthing yourself through your feet. So whatever in the soil is coming through your body, not just through the food you eat, but that soil is food for your being. So when you've chemicalized your soils, like in Australia, there's this catchphrase saying Australia has poor soils. We really don't. We have really beautiful soil. We just have never really understood our soil. Our mindset around what is fertile soil is not necessarily, you know, what it really is in different parts of Australia. So, and then they say, well, plants have got proteome roots and made adaptations, and they have, but it's our mindset around things that creates that. It's our perceptions without a deeper understanding. But if you're ready to go deep diving, and the mycelium is the best place to start, it will help you to find your own self-educational awareness and get a better understanding of how nutritional the soil is, without all these extras. Like, you know, we use overused fertilizers, and it's really unnecessary because, you know, the marketing is to put more fertilizer in, change the season, add more fertilizer. But really, we have enough food scraps to compost, to break down, that will provide nutrients. We don't need other fertilizers. This will create a whole conundrum with people because that's what we're taught, that's what we're creating to help. But really, nature, before we created all that stuff, was doing just fine. So syntropics, the, you know, limbs of the branches would fall down, they'd break down, the fungi would break it down, it would be a nutritional benefit to the soil. So this is where we're coming back to, we're returning that, and that is happening on a global scale. It just would be wonderful, and it is, to keep happening, and eventually we'll turn that around within ourselves. Nature's already doing that. We just got to, you know, come back on board with that, which, you know, people are, you know, great. Yeah, so highly processed food is literally that, right? It's highly processed, you know. So, you know, listen to how your body responds to it. But if you've been doing that for a long time and you're right away from your grassroots of what is for you, it takes time to clear that out of your system. And time isn't long. Time is just time. It's whatever your system operates on, you know.
Talking about time, you may need to wrap it up.
Yes.